Southampton's Voice.
Voice FM.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. From startups to established companies, I'll be bringing you a variety of guests from Southampton's business community. And today's show is all about the business of yoga and finding your voice. And I'm very excited because I am sat in the studio with none other than Sophie Mehta, owner and teacher at Mind and Movement Yoga based in Chandler's Ford. Sophie, welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you for inviting me. It's great to be here. I'm excited and, of course, very nervous.
Well, yeah, I'm absolutely thrilled, and I hope you don't mind me saying, but this is kind of a massive step outside of your comfort zone. So I'm buzzing for you. And I know that we've got an incredibly exciting show lined up. And I'm just going to throw forward to part two because we're going to be doing some live demonstrations on some breathing exercises. That's right, isn't it?
That's right, yes.
Yeah, perfect. So anyway, so let's kick off then, because obviously today's show is all about the business of yoga, but that's not where your career started. Your career started in fashion, didn't it?
It did, yes. I was originally working in fashion based in London, but I always had an interest in exercise, and the thought of a yoga class really appealed for me. And like most people, I think going to a yoga class on your own is quite daunting.
Because where do you even start with that? How do you know which class to pick?
Yes,
you don't know anyone there.
Yeah, it's really difficult to find. If you don't know where to start, it's very difficult to then, you know, choose a class and then go to a class that actually resonates with you. But then I met a friend at work. She was training to be a yoga teacher, and she very kindly offered to give me one-to-one classes. So she was then training in a style of yoga, which is Hatha yoga, called shadow yoga. And it's very much based on moving with the breath, starting very, very gentle movements. And it really helped me because I had asthma, I had anxiety, and I went through a really, really bad sort of like winter where I had really bad respiratory issues.
Yeah.
And she very kindly offered to give me one-to-one classes, which I immediately took up on that kind offer.
Absolutely. And obviously you loved it so much. What happened next?
So I just really liked the holistic side of yoga.
Yeah.
And then she carried on with her shadow yoga training, but I actually moved away to another job. So I was working in the west part of London, and I actually moved to central London, like Old Street. And I actually went to the classes where she was actually training to become a shadow yoga. So after work, I would go straight to the yoga classes and took it from there.
And you were saying earlier in the week, you know, there's this kind of real disconnect between the mind and the body, and yoga's quite good at kind of bridging that gap and bringing the two together.
Yes, I think with it, especially for when you have like issues like anxiety and stress, the mind is very sort of like it's you're on like a headless chicken running around. You've got these thoughts, you know, you can't control these thoughts, and it's not about controlling those thoughts, but allowing yourself through moving with the breath to come back to the sensations of the body, using the breath as a tool and just being aware of that breath in your body.
Absolutely. And of course, so, you know, after that time in London, fast forward, after you had your first child, it was quite a significant life event for you.
Yes. So after my first child was born, about 10 months after he was when he was about 10 months old, I found a lump on my throat. And it was a tumour. So I ended up having the tumour removed through a thyroidectomy. They removed one half of my thyroid. And my husband said, let's, you know, for you to recuperate, let's go abroad and you can just sit back and relax. And he would just look after me. But then I didn't find that sitting back really helped me. I needed to do something as well, because being in a new country where just sitting and being a housewife didn't really work for me. And I think it works for some people, but I needed that extra activity to be myself as well.
Yeah.
So I looked for classes close to where we lived, and I found a shoe that was training people to be yoga teachers. And I never really, you know, thought I want to be a yoga teacher. I just wanted to heal from the thyroidectomy.
That's what country were you in?
We were in Taiwan.
Excellent. So what did you do? So you went along to one of these classes, I presume.
Yes, I went to one of these classes, and what really appealed to me is that there is a husband and wife team, and they spoke not only just Taiwanese, but they spoke English as well, because I don't speak Mandarin. So it was like, oh, it was really, you know, really nice that they spoke English as well. And so I did a couple of classes just to see whether or not they resonated with how I wanted to go. I think it's really important to find, especially if you're doing classes or you're going to do a teacher training, that you've got to resonate with the style that you're going to train in. So I really liked that. So it was a change from the shadow yoga that I'd been doing previously in London to now a more flow movement. So it changed to vinyasa. And I just love that freedom in movement, that it was a great move from a more, it was just like a change that I think I needed at the time.
Yeah, for sure. And of course, when you were growing up as well, you said that, you know, you did lack confidence.
I did, yeah. And I think with the thyroidectomy, I think it really knocked my confidence, you know, because when you're working and you feel, oh, there's things that you can no longer do. You find being a mother, trying to juggle things and then work as well. Sometimes you can find that you lose your sense of identity as well. And also, like, growing up, I was always quite shy. I didn't really feel like I was able to express myself. So it was a huge thing for me to do the training and then go on and stand in front of a class and be able to teach people and have them actually listen to me in a quiet class, because in a yoga class no one's talking to you, they're actually really listening.
Yeah.
They're listening to you, so your voice really, really is a huge factor.
Yeah.
You know, in teaching yoga.
Absolutely. So, and do you look back now and you just do you still surprise yourself almost how far you've come?
Yes, absolutely. I think every step of the process, and when I first began doing yoga with my friend and a one-to-one, to now, you know, leading a class and being in front of a room and teaching people yoga, and then also to hear now being on the radio show, it just seems all a bit very surreal.
And did I see on social media you've won an award?
I did, yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
I recently, it was about 2 weeks ago, I got an email from a company called Distinguished Teaching. They're an independent analytics company, and they said that I had been placed first in the best places to do yoga in the Eastleigh area.
Amazing.
So yeah, it was a huge surprise. And they didn't ask for any advertising payments. They didn't ask for any money. You know, I just wasn't being sold anything. It was just, so I said, I emailed them back, said thank you very much. I didn't hear from them. Okay, that's quite good.
But you are the best place to learn to learn yoga.
According to Distinguished Teaching, I won't say. And that's for my students to say, and you know, for my fantastic yoga community to say, really.
Well, we're going to be delving into your sort of school a little bit later on the show, but it's interesting that I know for a fact people do follow you wherever you go, which I think is a great testament to the kind of yoga that you offer. So we're just going to go back ever so slightly. So you left Taiwan, you came back to England.
Yes.
And what happened next?
I moved to China's Fort, and my husband, he grew up in the area. I didn't actually know anyone in the area. But then I think after the first year of settling in, so getting the house ready, getting the kids settled into school, I thought, well, what am I going to do myself? And I didn't really know what to do. And then someone said to me, well, what about that, you know, that great yoga qualification that you did years ago? And I was like, okay, let's give that a go, shall we? So I thought, well, you know, it gave me the idea. So I started, you know, on the off chance, I started looking for adverts to think, oh, maybe I can do this, you know. Mm. So I saw a job on the off chance. I think it was advertised on Facebook. So I joined like community Facebook groups and stuff to look for jobs, see what was going about. And I saw a job that was advertised on a Monday morning at my local gym, and I applied and I got it. So, you know, that's how I started getting back into teaching yoga. after having my second child. And and some of the people that I've taught from the first few weeks in the gym, they're still with me now. Oh. And it's amazing because they say to me how much I've changed, because coming back and going back into teaching yoga, I had lost my voice. I would say that I was so quiet. I didn't have that confidence, but you know, I had the will. And I think you've got to have the will to overcome that sort of like initial fear. Mm. So they say to me, you've changed so much, you know, and it's just amazing to have these people that have been with me from the beginning of where I started teaching yoga locally to still being with me now. They've been with me on this journey as I've evolved through my teaching and trainings.
And your students, they're called yogis?
I call them yogis, yeah. So yogis is a term that I say for people that do practice yoga.
Absolutely. And there was something you were saying, you sort of joined this, the kind of group of, was it Creative Mums? Was it?
Yes. So before, initially, when I didn't really know what I was going to do, I went to join a group called Mothers Who Make, and this was based at Eastleigh Point. And it's a group of mothers that get together and they sort of like share and bounce off ideas and help you sort of like find what it is that you want to do. They help you with help you to explore through discussion and sharing ideas so that you can maybe find your direction.
Yeah.
And I think that was really instrumental for me to help me find the confidence, because through them, they allowed me to do like a trial yoga class with them.
Like a trial run.
Yeah, like a trial run. So, you know, it was very light, very gentle. Just to see how it felt to be, you know, directing or just talking people through yoga moves with the breathing. So it's a very small group. It was maybe three or four people. Mm-hmm. So it was a nice, gentle start.
Yeah.
And that was really quite instrumental in helping me. So Mothers Who Make, that's Sarah and Sophie. Thank you very much.
Oh, shout out to those guys. And is that group still going today?
I think so. I think they've evolved into a more baby and mothers play group now.
Yeah.
Because this was like, you know, four years ago.
Perfect. Well, look, we're going to take a short break, but don't go away, because join us in part two, where Sophie's actually going to be taking us through some breathing exercises. That's right, isn't it, Sophie?
Yes.
And they're quite transformational, so hopefully we don't fall asleep at the desk. We're going to be super relaxed. Is that the plan?
Hopefully, yes.
Love that. And we're going to be delving a little bit more into your business, Mind and Movement Yoga, and kind of what you've been up to recently. And of course, you know, how long has that business been going now?
So I started teaching in 2019.
Excellent. Yeah. And you've had some challenges along the way. We're going to do that thing where I ask all of my guests, you know, if you were to do it all again, what might you do differently? And have you got any advice for anyone that's thinking about starting a business? So don't go away. We're going to take a short break. We've got some music and some ads. And you're listening to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM.
Voice FM.
You name it, we'll collect it.
So a bed?
Yep.
A sofa?
Yep.
All right, what about a shed?
Yes.
So anything?
Everything non-hazardous.
Hi there, I'm Steve.
And I'm Woody.
And we're the co-founders of Ethiclear.
We collect waste and clear houses.
And we do it ethically.
Because if your waste is good enough to be used again,
we'll make sure it is.
As Ethiclear has a network of like-minded people around Southampton.
So for anything
of almost any size
that you can't shift,
book your clearance at ethiclear.co.uk.
So I got a home office in the garden, and in the spring and the autumn it's perfect. But in the middle of winter and summer, it's not fun. The heater costs a fortune when it's cold outside, and in the summer, opening the windows just isn't enough. Which is why I got Just Coolers to install a small air conditioning unit. It keeps me cool in the summer and warm in the winter. It's the most cost-effective way of doing it. And with a 5-year guarantee and prices from $799, what's not to like? For your free quote, just visit just-coolers.com and keep your home office just right.
Voice FM.
You're listening to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM, and I am delighted to be in the studio with the incredible Sophie Mehta from Mind and Movement Yoga, based in Chandlersford, Eastleigh. Sophie, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
The nerves are melting away.
I'm not sure they're melting away. Yes. But I'm good. I'm glad to be here, and it's great chatting to you, Matt.
I love it. I think your story is incredible, quite fascinating, actually. So just for the benefit of anyone that might be tuning in right now, so you're owner and teacher at Mind and Movement Yoga. In a nutshell, what is it you guys do? Because obviously there's lots of different types of yoga. Is there anything that you specialise in? How does it work?
So I teach three types of classes, or four actually, including the meditation, a restorative class, which happens once a month. So I teach on a Wednesday and a Friday morning a gentle yoga, which incorporates a little bit of weight training. So it's aimed at, you know, ladies or anyone really who has maybe health issues or a little bit older, over 45. So we incorporate a few light weights, using free weights, to help strengthen the hands, the wrists, the shoulders. Because sometimes I just found that when, you know, the old, some populations, when they come and start yoga, their wrists may hurt. So we like to strengthen the wrists and the hands, the shoulders and the arms by using light weights or free weights. And then that just helps it ease in a little bit easier to then burn weight through the hands. So that's my, and then we do, after the weights, we then do a nice gentle flow, include some stretches, but we always include balance. So balance is a huge part of what I teach. I think it stems from the shadow yoga. So the shadow yoga, from my foundation practice, was always about, you know, making sure that you were stable on the feet. So movement always stems from the feet or from the spine, so allowing the neurons to fire from the brain down to the feet, so, and then back up again. So really aware, bringing awareness to how your feet impact your balance and stability. And then I also do a vinyasa class on a Friday evening. So it's a vinyasa flow, and we connect, I mean, all the classes have breath and movement connected. But in the vinyasa flow, we move much more. So there's no weights. We move, and it's all about body weight strength, and about how we can shift our body weight from our hands to our feet. Maybe one hand and one foot. You know, just, you know, how, you know, that shift in how we feel, the transference of energy from one part of the body, which I love, because yoga, you use your hands and your feet. There's never sort of like, it's not just your feet. It's not just your hands. It's both together at any one point, all separate. And then my vinyasa power flow class, which happens on a Thursday, which initially was a class at the gym that I taught, but when the gym closed, they all came, well, most of them came over and started practicing me at the studio where I teach now. And that's much more of a very strong practice. That's the class where we do like arm balances and things like, so last week we were doing things like flying lizard, maybe we do,
yeah. Oh wow. So that, you're gonna, so have to describe
that's
that.
That's the more sort of like advanced, but these guys have been with me since, you know, I was teaching at the gym.
Yeah.
And so they really, you know, they've come over with me, so they've been with me for 3 years at least. So one of the guys, he walked in with a back brace. He started classes with me at the gym with a back brace, and he walked in and I thought, oh my goodness, how am I going to be able to, you know, instruct him? And he's now with me, and he's telling me that he's now at the pub practicing flying lizard, which is just hilarious. So
I'm gonna have to Google that and just see what that looks like, because I'm sure the picture I've got in my mind might not quite be what it is, but yeah, interesting. And you talked about feel, and kind of how does it make people feel when people have finished a class? What kind of things are they saying?
Just how relaxed they are. But it's like it's a feeling of relaxation, but also very sort of like alert at the same time. So you feel very alert, consciously aware, but also relaxed at the same time. So you just feel like you feel really quite full in your heart, I suppose, and you just feel quite happy. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, mostly people are smiling when they leave. So I take that as a good sign.
Yeah, I suppose so. It gets the blood moving, doesn't it?
Yes.
And it certainly, no doubt, it helps de-stress. What about things like posture? Does it help with posture?
Absolutely. It brings awareness to how, you know, your spine is centered. So in yoga, the spine is really central to how you move. I mean, so we do movements with the spine, so making sure that as you move the spine, making sure notice any stiffness in any parts of the spine, and allowing yourself to move with a little bit more ease. So if your spine is strong and also flexible, then you'll find that your movement through throughout the entire body becomes much more easier. You just it's about creating ease in the body and releasing stress from the mind.
Sure. And how important is breathing when you're practicing yoga?
It's absolutely important, because with breathing, you know, there's not one cell in the body that isn't impacted by your breath. And in yoga, we use the breath to utilize and stabilize movement, but also to allow us to bring us into a relaxed state. So I like to say, like, with the you bring awareness to three parts of the breath. There's the breath isn't just about the inhale and the exhale, there's also the pause. So bringing awareness to the three parts of the breath to allow yourself to be informed in your movement. So with the inhale, what I say is, you know, when you're feeling the inhale, how does that feel in your body? It's almost like you're feeling lightness and weightlessness, and that can impact how you move and how it can make your movement feel much more at ease. And then with your exhale, when you're exhaling, it feels like you're going down to the ground. So it feels like, you know, you're relaxing and you're finding stability in that movement. And then in the pause, it allows you to be informed as to the direction in which you wish to go, which, you know, that transfers to life as well.
Well, on that note then, because we did promise the listeners some breathing exercises. So yes. Shall we have a go?
Right, so I've got two simple breathing exercises. So if you're driving, please don't take your hands off the steering wheel.
Off the steering wheel. Pull over now. Yeah. Do you have to be sitting down? Do you have to be standing up?
You can do both. You can be sitting down or you could be standing up. So if you're standing up, make sure you've got your feet, hip distance apart, make sure that you're equal balance on both sides of the body, of the feet. And then, so allow yourself to sit comfortably. So however you are right now, if you're standing or sitting, allow yourself to feel supported through the parts of your body that is in contact with the support. So if you're standing, really feel the ground through the feet. It helps if you're barefoot. So, but if you're driving, if you're in the office, then probably don't take your shoes and socks off.
Or do.
I mean, I don't know.
It's fine. Yeah. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Yeah. Why not?
So the point is just allow yourself to be comfortable as you are. Okay. So then find, you know, lengthen your chest and your spine. So sit tall. Allow the crown of the head to, you know, reach up towards the sky. Release the shoulders down. So we do one movement which incorporates movement with the hands, because some people need a little more movement to allow them to find that connection to their body and slow the mind down. And the second one, we're going to incorporate touch, but you're not going to be touched, you'll be touching your hands on yourself.
Is it strange giving instruction when you've got nobody apart from me in front of you?
Yeah, it's weird, because it's like, I'm going to say, oh yes, you're going to put your hands to your, so anyway, okay.
Where are my yogis?
I hope they're listening. They know that I'm a bit nuts. Anyway, let's go on with this. Right, so the first one. So with your hands, turn your palms facing up. And as you inhale, you're going to bring the hands up. Deep inhalation, bring the hands up under the chin. As the hands come towards the chin, in that pause, turn the hands down. And then a long exhalation to bring the hands down towards the hips. And then again, turn the palms facing up. Inhale, deep inhalation. Feel the breath lifting at the same rate as you move the hands. If your hands are moving fast, then you're breathing too fast. Turn the palms facing down. And then a long exhalation. So as I can see, your hands are moving fast. I know that your breath, you're breathing too fast. So
right.
I can really see, observe, whether or not people are moving slowly with the breath. So allow yourself allow the hands to move at the same rate as you feel the breath in your body rise. So it's at the level, the same where your breath is moving up the body. So inhale, all the way up to chin, pause to turn the palms down, exhale slowly. And again, turn the palms up, inhale. And exhale, and close your eyes too, Matt, like you have.
I was just going to ask, yeah, it sort of feels natural to sort of close my eyes.
And I think it is. I think when you get into the exercise, the breathing exercise, you will find that you end up doing what feels natural to you. So I see that some people like to close their eyes or don't. It you know, there's never like a wrong or right way. So as you feel it, you'll naturally begin to intuitively feel what you want to do. Like there's practices that we do and people like to wiggle their fingers at the same time. But allow yourself to feel what helps you get into the practice.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I sort of felt like I wanted to sort of breathe in very quickly and exhale very quickly. Whereas what we say, you need to sort of slow it down a bit.
Yeah, slow it down completely. So breathe, fully expand through the belly, and then feel the breath rising up through the rib cage, and it spreads across the chest, and then you turn the palms down, and then the long exhale down, feeling the breath come all the way down. So a full exhale and a full inhalation.
Nice. Okay. What else have you got up your sleeve?
Right. So that one, it was incorporating gentle movement. And then the other one incorporates sensation of touch. So when we use our hands and our fingers against the floor, it can stimulate the release of oxytocin, which is the cuddle hormone, which helps to relax. And it also helps to promote positive feelings and reduce anxiety. So, you know, it's depending whether you want more movement or whether you want a little bit more touch and sensation, because everyone is different. So I like to incorporate, you know, different things so that, you know, people have a choice.
Makes sense. Did you say cuddle?
Yes, the cuddle hormone.
So as in like when you have a cuddle?
Yes, it releases oxytocin and it makes you feel good. It makes you, so it's like the happy, you know, relaxing hormone, feel-good hormone.
Okay, right then. So you're going to give us a demonstration?
Talk you through it. So placing one hand on your belly, it can be the left or the right hand on your belly, and then the other hand on your chest. So between, anywhere that feels comfortable for you. So this time we're going to feel the breath moving through your body through the hands. Okay, so as you inhale, you're going to feel the lower hand on your belly push out and expand. And then you're going to feel the breath rise up, and you feel the breath with your hand on the chest. And then pause before you exhale, and then you'll feel through your upper hand the chest contract, and then the belly contract. So you're tuning into how it feels in your body as you inhale fully, pause, and then exhale.
Wow, that's really powerful.
Yeah, and again, that some people prefer this method and other people prefer more movement. So that's why I like to incorporate different practices in the classes, because everyone's different. Everyone has, you know, preferences. We're all humans. We all have, you know, different things that we like more or things that we need more.
Absolutely. And for anyone out there that, say, for instance, might struggle to get to sleep in the evening, for instance, because they maybe feel wired or they might be stressed, or it takes a while for their mind to kind of slow down and to get into that sort of pace, doing these kind of breathing exercises, can they help with that?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I mean, I think we were saying to Zahn earlier, sometimes he finds it really hard to fall asleep, and I say sometimes you may actually need to incorporate a little bit more movement. So when your mind is a little bit really overly active, sometimes movement helps to dissipate that energy. So maybe do some gentle stretching incorporated with movement to allow yourself to bring your mind back into your body, and so that you can then hopefully relax as well and incorporate those breathing exercises as well.
It's so powerful, especially, you know, with devices and bits and pieces. They can wreak havoc, can't they, on sort of keeping you up at night.
Yes.
So to kind of have these routines. How often do people tend to practice yoga? Is it a daily thing or?
Yeah, I think it's preference. Like, you know, some people, you know, they like to do it once a week, but it's not just a yoga class, you know, it's also a community. And mm-hmm. I love the fact that, you know, my yogis come to get that. So I walked into class today and they're just chatting. There's like the buzz of energy in the air. So, you know, you can, it's not just yoga, it's community. So, you know, once a week may be enough. But if you want to sort of like, you know, get more out of the practice or develop the practice a little bit more, I suppose, you know, it helps to do it every day. I mean, I do it every day that I can, but I think it's important for me to do and practice yoga as much as I can because I'm actually teaching it, and I think it's really important to come from a place of experience if you're teaching.
Absolutely. Look, hold that thought. We've got to take another quick break. We've got some music, but then we'll be back for part three. We're going to be delving into some of the challenges that you face setting up your own business. I don't know if you've got any more breathing exercises to do, but we can maybe have a little look at that. So yeah, don't go away. We'll be back after the break.
Live and local, Voice FM.
Let's hear more from Ian at Station Motors.
I think it's important to have a family business. My customers relate to it. I've been doing cars for people and now I'm doing their son's cars. My daughter works in reception and my son's nearly a fully qualified accountant. He does my bookwork, both very good drivers. I used to walk to school past his garage. It was a petrol station back then. So I ended up buying the garage off that family, you know. So I like to think I've brought my family into that family business.
Station Motors Woolston by the Itchen Bridge.
This is the sound of exercise when it's made fun. It's called Visosport, and it started in Southampton. You meet up, you play fun games, you exercise, you laugh, you keep fit. It's for people of all abilities. Visit visosport.net or search for Visosport in Meetup and have fun getting fit.
Southampton's Voice FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. And I'm joined in the studio by the incredible Sophie Mehta, who is owner and teacher over at Mind and Movement Yoga, based in Chandlers Ford in Eastleigh. How are we doing, Sophie?
Okay.
Good. Yeah, good. I feel like you're getting into the rhythm. And it's interesting. When we did those breathing exercises, you said, as you were looking over to me, said, oh, I got, with that second exercise, you sort of almost sort of sense me or feel me kind of relax. And I think, yeah, you were bob on, really. And I suppose, does that come with experience of being a yoga teacher? And you can kind of see your yogis relax, I suppose.
Definitely, because you sense the rhythm in the movement. Mm. So you sense like they make adjustments naturally. You feel maybe you'll see their shoulders drop, maybe their eyes will naturally want to close like yours did during that exercise.
I know.
And you just see their face and their jaws and their forehead, you know, the brow start to relax, and you can sense that adjustment in how, you know, they've started to relax and ease into how their feeling within their body.
Yeah.
So that does definitely come with experience. I mean, when you first start teaching, you know, you may be looking at your notes, like a lesson plan, but then eventually you'll find, and then that does sometimes detract from you being able to observe your students in the class. So I don't have a lesson plan in any of my classes because I like to look at my students so I can observe, you know, whether or not they're breathing slowly and whether or not, you know, if there's changes in their energy.
So anybody listening that's thinking, do you know what, I'd quite like to come along to one of Sophie's classes, what do they need to do? Do they get in contact with you? Do they just turn up? How does it work? Can they do a taster class?
Yes, so I offer a free taster class.
Oh, brilliant.
Just email me, have a look at the timetable, see, you know, pick a class that resonates with you. You know, maybe you're more athletic, maybe you're much more sporty and you want to cross train, so you already got that level of, you know, quite a good level of fitness, and maybe you want to come straight into the power yoga. And then, but if you're like a beginner and you don't really know, you know, how to go about it, then the beginner's yoga flow Friday is a much more gentler introduction into vinyasa flow. So we'll learn the basics of a movement with the breath. And then if you're, you know, a complete beginner and you want to go really gentle and work on the foundations of balance and movement and relaxation with the breath, then come to a morning class.
Nice.
So just get in contact, pop me an email, say which class that you're interested in coming, and then I'll book you in at the studio at Hillenbury Sports.
Yeah, no doubt very warm welcome. I would love to talk about building a community, right, and how important that is, but also how you've done it quite well. It's obviously been a bit of a challenge you've had along the way, because you've effectively had to start a community from scratch. But as part of that, you also have to be quite good at taking risks when you start a business, because obviously for you it was quite a big risk, wasn't it? And again, you were starting from complete scratch. I remember you saying you created a flyer and you put it up in a local post office, and that was your marketing.
Yes, that was the extent of my marketing, and that literally has all it's been.
Yeah, but it's just kind of, it snowballed from there.
My first yogi from my independent class at Hillenbury Sports was Pam, and then she told her friends,
yeah,
who then told their friends, and it sort of like snowballed from there. So I haven't actually done very much. I haven't done any marketing at all. I've not dropped flyers off, or you know, I don't feel like I've done so much in terms of the marketing and promotion. I've been fortunate enough to have people come through the class through word of mouth, and also through searches on Google, and you know, for website.
Yeah, I mean, it feels to me it's been quite organic, your growth, and everything that you put on social is all kind of organic. You're not boosting stuff, you're not kind of doing any of that. You're just putting out this kind of just authentic, you know, I know there's pictures of you doing the various different sort of yoga stances and bits and pieces, which no doubt, you know, people look at that and think, oh, that's interesting, maybe I fancy having a go at that. But that sort of community building, because how big are your classes? How many people do you tend to teach now on a weekly basis?
I think at the moment there's an average of about between 10 to 12 people per class. And the Friday morning class is in the smaller studio, so we have, you know, a smaller class. But the maximum so far is about 13, 14. And I quite like to keep it quite small, because then, you know, if there's too many people, your observation can get lost in the bodies.
Yeah.
So you want to keep, you know, allow, you know, attention for every person that comes into the room, because you want to give, you know, make sure that everyone's being catered for and being looked after.
Absolutely. And that kind of community building, you probably didn't realise it at the time, but you were saying to me last week about the importance, when it comes to being a yoga teacher, the importance of being transparent and kind of being, you know, it's black and white in terms of who you've trained with. And you're really open about that, aren't you?
I am. I think it's absolutely important to be transparent in, you know, where you've come from, you know, where you've trained, because, you know, it's a reflection of, you know, how you're going to teach as well, you know. And it reflects your interests as well, you know, it gives you an idea of what sort of yoga that you're going to get in that class. So I think it's important, but also to make sure that whatever it is that you're teaching, you really believe in it, because I think your community that you're trying to build, they're going to grow from what you transmit in your class. So if you're teaching from a base of what you feel and what you've experienced, and from that honesty in that teaching, you know, it transmits to the people that come to your class. And, you know, it's not going to be like, not everyone's going to resonate with what you do, but at least if you know and feel that what you're doing is, you know, is true to you, then you will build your community in that way.
Absolutely. And there's no gimmicks with your classes?
I don't like to have any sort of like extras. I think, you know, we like to make sure that we focus on the movement, the breath, and the body. That's it, that's the crux of it. So I won't have, you know, I think that's what we need. Yoga is about the connection of the mind, the body, and the breath.
Absolutely. And there's this difference, isn't there, between correct me if I'm wrong, masculine and feminine kind of energy, and getting the right balance of the two.
Yes, like, so I think, you know, with for me, yoga is all about the balance of opposites. And, like, you know, life is about, you know, navigating between the opposites that we have. in this continuous flow of life. You know, there's going to be the good, there's going to be bad, there's going to be, you know, the ups and the downs. And also with our energy, you know, our energy is feminine, which is the yin energy, and then we also have the energy which is yang. So we need to balance those energies, which is within all of us, whether or not you identify as male or female, or you have a masculine or and a feminine energy. So we want to balance those two energies so that you feel centered. So when you have too much masculine energy, you'll feel much more anxious, stress, restless. And if you're there's too much of the yin energy, then it equates to more lethargy and just tiredness. So you want to balance between the two. So with yoga, in the movement practice, we go from a strength asana to then a stretch your flexibility asana, and it's constant. You move from one to the other, one to the other, and it's allowing yourself to navigate between the two so that you can find the center, the balance.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's something that you're so passionate about. I can see it. You're smiling in the studio now, and it's palpable. And of course, you are so good now that you are qualified to teach other people, teach teachers, if that makes sense.
I am. I haven't so far, but I am able to, if I wanted to go in that direction, I could now I could go and apply to open a school, but I am qualified to offer CBDs and professional trainings for yoga teachers.
That's amazing. I just want to go back to the building a community and thing, and one of the other vital ingredients, and you said it's important to be consistent.
I think so, because like when you're starting to build a community, you know, you're going to be on your own. Yeah. A lot of the time.
Yeah.
You know, there's often times when you go to a studio and nobody's like, well, not now, but at the start, you know, it's not unusual to go to teacher class and maybe just one person's there on the odd times, no one's been there. So it's just, but just make sure that whoever that turns up, whether it's the one person or nobody, use that time and be productive. Mm. Like, so if, you know, if there's one person, they've turned up for you. So you need to show up every week, regardless of whether one person or loads of people turn up. You need to show up not for just your community, but for yourself as well, to be consistent.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, if you're expecting your yogis to be consistent, then you have to sort of offer, if not more, that same level of consistency.
Yeah, you have to be there. You have to show up.
It's a very powerful thing. And you have overcome a lot of fears, haven't you? I know you've done a bit of networking as well.
That's how I met you.
Yeah, I love it. I don't think anyone would believe in the studio right now that, you know, you'd sort of ever lacked confidence. But I just think the journey that you've been on has been quite incredible. Everything happens for a reason, isn't it? And all these things have kind of led to this point. And I'm really excited to see where you take the yoga school. I mean, what is next? Tell us, what's on the horizon? What are you hoping to achieve this year?
I honestly don't know.
More of the same.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's I just love what I do, and I'm happy to carry on teaching. Just seeing, you know, the development of my yogis, seeing their growth as well, and with the journey alongside me.
It must be so rewarding.
It is extremely rewarding, just seeing, you know, seeing the faces. I see my yoga community more than I see my friends. You know, I see them every week.
Shout out to the yogis.
Yes, hello to my yogis. And they do become like your friends. Yeah. And it's just, you know, they're so supportive. They're a great community, and I'm so fortunate.
It's amazing, isn't it? So if you were sat opposite somebody that was thinking about going self-employed or starting their own business, what would you say to that person?
Take that leap of faith. If you've got the idea and you're really sort of like, you know, you really believe in that idea, take that leap of faith, because there's, you know, if you don't, you'll regret it. So do it.
Yeah, do it. Do you know what? A lot of people say that on this show. And hopefully we can inspire anybody out there that's thinking about taking the leap. Have you found it difficult kind of wearing the business hat and wearing the yoga teacher hat and having to sort of interchange them every so often?
Yeah, I find the, you know, like I find the admin, like my yogis will know how terrible I am with certain aspects of the business side, you know, with like keeping up to date with like just the admin stuff.
Sure.
But, you know, I love the teaching side. So, you know, that's probably where my focus is.
Yeah.
So the research and the teaching. And so, you know, I'll get my yoga saying, oh, I need to pay you. And it's like, oh, my God, thanks so much. Because it's like, oh. And I was just so grateful for them for that. But, I find juggling, you know, everything. Because when you're doing the teaching and the business side, you're doing it all. Yeah. You know, you're doing your own website, you're doing all your writing for the posts, you've got to take the, if you're doing any social media posts, and you've got to take the photos, and, you know, you're doing everything. So, and then also being a mum of two as well, you know, you're cooking and making sure that your children's needs are taken care of as well.
Sure.
So it's a huge balance in that, and you can't, you know, you have to accept that you can't do everything, so you prioritize what needs to be done.
Well, look, on that note, we're out of time. It's been absolutely brilliant chatting, and thank you so much for sharing your story and just sharing the insights, really, because I think you're an absolute inspiration, Sophie, if I'm quite honest.
Oh, thank you.
I hope you've enjoyed being in the Voice FM studio. Have you enjoyed it?
I have. It's been really nice to be here. It's been an experience, and that's what I came on for.
Oh, no, exactly. Facing your fears, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I would love to do a follow-up. Maybe we can organise something. So, you know, 6 to 12 months down the line, let's see what you've been up to. Let's see if you've got any more yogis joining you.
Oh, and I also have to give a shout-out to Eastleigh Boxing, because I'm supposed to be coaching tonight, but because I won't get back in time and then, you know, get into the club. So, hi, Eastleigh Boxing.
I love it. Well, look, on that note, you've been listening to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. And if you love this show, join me again next week, where I'll be interviewing another incredible guest. Bye for now.
Voice FM. Voice FM.
Don't put in your recycling bin greasy pizza boxes. And don't put in your recycling bin dirty tins and dirty plastic bottles.
If any of your recycling is dirty, greasy or wet, your whole bin could be rejected. So follow this golden rule. Keep your recycling clean, dry and loose. And remember,
don't put in your recycling bin greasy pizza boxes.
This message is supported by Voice FM. And if you want to know more about recycling in Southampton, visit voicefmradio.co.uk/recycling.